WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest, Willem Breuker, is founder of the Willem Breuker Collectief, the Dutch big band currently on tour in this country. Breuker started playing music professionally in Amsterdam in the 1960s. If the music was unconventional, so were the venues where he performed.
I like to change the places where the music always happens. So, let's say in concert halls or small jazz clubs or in cellars. So one of the reasons I did something different, that I like to play at that time, for instance, in the streets, and to bring our music, our ideas about music, to bring it direct to the people, you know, so that they didn't have to come to us, but we came over to them.
Give me a sense of what one of your street concerts might have been like.
Oh, yeah, you can do a lot of things. I mean, the best acoustics are always the streets for me. But you also can put on some theater, and you can do parades, and you can react immediately on situations in the streets and the way people are reacting on your music. And you can stop it, you can go on, and it's a very open situation. So I think we learned a lot about in direct confrontation with the people. And we also went over to strikes and to movements by the ladies that time. And there was a lot to do in Amsterdam and in Holland at that time.
Oh, you mean you'd play where there was a strike or a women's movement rally?
Exactly, yeah.
You know the kinds of antics that you do on stage now? Mm. What was the original inspiration for that? How did you start doing that?
Well, when I play music or I am on stage, then I'm also a visitor at the same time. So I watch myself, what I'm doing. And when I go to a concert after, let's say, half an hour or 45 minutes, or maybe even earlier, then it's very boring to be in a concert hall. For the first place, you have to sit there in a row of chairs. And everybody is doing his job, but nothing is happening. So at that time, I also watch two other things. So for instance, you watch what kind of lamps are in the hall, or what kind of chairs they have, or what kind of people, what kind of clothes they wear, and special things. If their shoes are nice polished, and that's not so good. I mean, for me, for instance, because I'm not listening to the music anymore, but I'm watching. And I'm looking for other things. So maybe that was one of the reasons that I started to do some theater on stage. On the other hand, you can say with theater so many things.
Seems to me you take a very intellectual approach to fun and to slapstick.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, you only can work with your intellect, and if you don't have it, then it's a pity. But I think you have to think every day about what you are doing and what you are not doing. And I mean music and doing the things I'm doing. It's my profession, so I'm thinking the whole day of it. And there is no way back, actually.
I'm interested in the collective aspect of the group. In what way is your band a collective?
Well, everybody can say what he wants. I mean, it's a contradictio in terms to put my name in front of a collective. But okay, I can't help it. That's the way it is. I can't help it, but it's just the way it's already since 18 years. So why do you change it if it still works the way it works out now? On the other hand, the collective, yeah, everybody can say what he wants. So on paper, I'm the leader, but it's a very open situation. And on the other hand, it's very important for me that everybody earns the same. So, inclusive me. Collective means also that everybody feels in a certain way happy in what he is doing. So it's not a situation of boss and people has to do what somebody says. So that's maybe also the reason that the still five members of the band are with us since the beginning, so since 18 years, and the other they are already 10 years with us, you know. So that says something about the name Collective.
My guest is Dutch composer, saxophonist, and bandleader Willem Breuker. More in just 60 seconds. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Dutch composer, saxophonist, and bandleader Willem Breuker. What kind of music did you hear that really reached you when you were growing up in Amsterdam in the 1940s and 50s?
Well, there was some music by, most of the time it was just music from the classical side, from the written down side, the composer's music. But what I remember that I was really shocked when I was, let's say, about 12 years old. And after school time, I went to the music library and I heard for the first time music by Edgar Varèse, so the French-American composer. And that shocked me really, you know, that I couldn't imagine that that type of music really was there. When I heard for the first time a string quartet by Arnold Schoenberg, for instance, the same shock.
Now, you're basically talking about classical composers and 20th century classical composers, but I would have thought you'd also have heard a lot of circus music and parade bands when you were young.
Well, I'm coming from a labor part of Amsterdam, so we had a lot of marching bands in the street. But I think that aspect of music came up later in my music. I was a very serious guy, actually, more interested in what I told you already. But I was also very shocked by, let's say, the Duke Ellington Band or the Basie Band or also Louis Armstrong, you know. I mean, there are two types of music, good and bad music. So, and it has nothing to do with style, I think. So, well, it was hard for me to make a good choice, actually. And there was so much music that time. And I spent all my money on buying records and things like that to get information.
Were most of the records you bought classical records, or were you getting a lot of jazz records too?
Yeah, the same. So I could buy a record by Basie and also a record by Varèse, for instance. You know, no problem at all. So it was also a very strange situation in my home place because nobody understood really what I had in mind with that music.
Did you listen to rock and roll or even movie music?
Rock and roll. Yeah, it was the time that Elvis Presley came up and Little Richard and later on the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And well, I was only surprised by the singing of Elvis Presley, actually, because I think he was a marvelous, fantastic singer. But the rest I was not so interested in.
So what led you from classical music, which is what your background was in, to a form of jazz where you include everything you want to in it, but still it's more jazz than classical?
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I was a very bad student, actually, in music, because I didn't like to rehearse and to play what other people had written down for me. So when I had to study my clarinet lessons, I was too lazy to turn the page to the next piece, you know. So then I started on improvising. And just the thing I like in music, to improvise. But on the other hand, if you improvise a lot, maybe you like to, after a while, you like to write it down and that you know what you have done, for instance. And then you always can you close periods behind you. That's the reason why I make records and CDs, you know, because you close periods. And then you can go on.
Let me ask you about your composition on your latest album, the album Parade.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit what you were working on conceptually in your composition, which is, you pronounce it for me, I can't really pronounce this.
How do you want to pronounce it?
I'd pronounce it Zanspiegels.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you like that?
Yes, very good. You know what it means?
No, I have no idea what it means.
Oh, it has to do with money. We got, last year, November, I think, we got a prize by the Zaanse Stichting. And Zaandam, that's a city in the north of Amsterdam, 20 kilometers in the north of Amsterdam. And I wrote a piece. It's about money. So if you get money, you can do something. If you have no money, you can do nothing. And it's also a song in the... I think it's humoristic, actually. But it's also a little bit... it's not too nice to them, actually, where the song is about. So it's not going on your knees and saying, thank you very much for what you did to us, but also a little bit with an eye wink, thank you, but it's enough now.
Did you ever feel that certain serious music listeners weren't going to take your group so seriously because your music was fun?
Yeah, sometimes they go away and sometimes they stay. And most of the time they stay, I better can say that. So we lately saw it in Vienna, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, that there were very old ladies sitting in the audience. In the first 10 minutes, they were really shocked about the music we did. But then after a while, they started to understand it, what we were doing. And they had a fantastic night, and they came after the concert, came over to us. And that was the first experience they had in their life with music. They didn't know that it existed at all. And we had the same experiences in England, for instance. We played a concert in Oxford in May last this year, and well, people actually were crying and coming up to us and saying, this is impossible. I once dreamt about music like that, but it really exists. So, I mean, that's an answer on something, you know.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you too.
The Willem Breuker Collective is on an American tour over the next few weeks. It's taking them to Rochester, Buffalo, Cambridge, Louisville, Chicago, Washington, Seattle, San Francisco, and Portland. The Collective's latest album is Parade. And if you want the spelling of Breuker's name, it's Breuker.